98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bigley Blast.
This Sunday, the Cardinals play for legitimacy to validate their dramatic ascent in power rankings and national perception that followed their annihilation of the Titans. It will also mark the return of their fan base in full. The Red Sea, not a pond or a pool, although the pond would be good for you. The Red Sea, a stadium that hasn't been packed in a long time, and we all know how powerful that can be. During the Suns' memorable run to the NBA Finals, their home games became the gold standard in Arizona, maybe even the NBA. We saw firsthand how rewarding it is to be part of that kind of exuberance and communal engagement. We saw how a raucous crowd can elevate a really good team to the next level. And along that ride, I'm sure there were Cardinal fans who were motivated and inspired to do the same for their football team in 2021. Well, now that moment has arrived. State Farm Stadium was once a high decibel asset, but in the past 5 years when the Cardinals have failed to produce a winning season, the building's grown a bit stale. Fans have been incentivized to sell their tickets. The stadium is prone to hostile takeovers from opposing fans. All of that stuff. But there was a time when the Cardinals had one of the strongest home field advantages in the NFL, and now they might have the perfect team to unlock a new friend, an old friend, and a new kind of magic. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine at Chapman BMW in Chandler. Chapman BMW on Camelback. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
Really excited. That was a big aspect that was lacking last year, particularly at home. We have such a great fan base, and the pageantry of the game day experience is awesome. And even being on the road last week, just felt a different type of energy. So I can't wait to see what it's like on Sunday.
Cliff Kingsbury, head coach of the Cardinals, talking about what it's going to feel like when in the first time. Sunday will be the first time in 644 days, Bick, since the Cardinals beat the Cleveland Browns, the aforementioned Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns on December 15th of 2019. That was the last time that stadium was packed for a football game that meant something, and we're going to get that feeling. And that was one of the things. We didn't really talk about it following week one. It's hard to pick up on it through the TV, but I remember the 2020 season when it got started and just the visceral absence of atmosphere. When the Cardinals opened up in Santa Clara against the 49ers, yeah, they got a big win, but it was just so strange. We were talking about piped in crowd noise. That's just got to be such a feeling of relief for everybody in the NFL to be able to play home games in front of fans again.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think in week one, we felt that. We felt a different kind of energy coming out of week one because we all experienced football without it last year. And I think when you pair up what the Cardinals did, I think they certainly ratcheted up the level of excitement locally. And so hopefully that is going to bring a newly inspired fan base, a packed stadium. And hopefully this is the beginning of State Farm Stadium getting back what it once had. And again, we all know the financial business decisions people make when you follow a bad team or a team that isn't going to the playoffs or a team that squanders a 6-3 record and chokes down the stretch. Those you pay for that kind of stuff. And you pay for that with fans who don't show up, with apathy, with fans who sell their tickets. And now you're suddenly looking up and it's 40% Seahawks fans, 25% Packers fans, you know, that kind of stuff. This football team the Cardinals have now, if they keep this up, they'll get back what they had for a while, which is a partisan, engaged, loud crowd.
But I'm also curious to see, you know, there are a lot of people from Minnesota that live in the Valley. There's a lot of fans that after a year of not having the option to go to games, they're traveling. They want to get out and experience NFL football again. So I am curious to see what that means for the amount of purple in that stadium on Sunday.
I completely agree with you. Now, but I also think, though, if you were a season ticket holder for the Cardinals, I think you would be attending this game. It's the first game back. You haven't been there in a while. It's going to be...
You're coming off a great week.
Great win.
You're coming off a great win. You knew it was the return of Patrick Peterson. There's all that kind of stuff. Now, there's no Larry Fitzgerald, which is going to be different. Mark Dalton tweeted out from the head PR guy at the Cardinals. He tweeted out something amazing. Last time the Cardinals played a home game without Larry Fitzgerald was week 17 of the 03 season, which also came against the Vikings. That was the Josh McCown to Nate Poole miracle at the end of the game.
Nate Poole got the key to the city of Green Bay that day.
What a what an odd bookend for someone that's from Minnesota.
Yeah. And when you think about that and you think, okay, you know, they don't make that completion. They get the number one pick. Do they take Larry Fitzgerald at that point in time? Probably not.
Probably not is right. Who went number one that year? Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the market for a quarterback.
They were, yeah. So to me, it's all very, very odd. But I'm very excited to see how this market reacts to this football team. Because again, what's new about it is they didn't have crowds last year. This Cardinal team, after 1 week, feels legit. And then on top of all of that, there was the Suns' magic that we're all kind of in the wake of right now.
That's about to come back, by the way.
It's about to come back.
After a super short offseason, we're only weeks away from the Suns season starting again. So this is the time for the Cardinals to grab back the market.
Yeah. No, that's very true. And you think about this, this is a great opportunity for the Cardinals to do what the Suns did. And if they are able to do that, it's going to be exactly what this market needs, to go from one awesome season right into another.
The whole connection to that 2003 game is just rattling around
my
head.
It's mind-blowing.
If that pass does not get completed, Cardinals end up with the number one pick.
Yep. Josh McCown doesn't get food poisoning from the plate of cheese Wisconsin sent him, because the Packers made the playoffs because of that.
Yeah, so Nate Poole got the key to the city.
Josh McCown got a cheese tray.
The Cardinals take Eli Manning number one overall. Does he strong-arm his way still to New York?
Oh.
He was drafted by San Diego, refused to play there.
Right. I would think at that point in their history, he would view the Cardinals the same way he would view the Chargers.
Probably, and if everything else remained the same, that would have meant that Phillip Rivers, one of my least favorite quarterbacks of all time, would have spent 17 seasons in Arizona as a quarterback, and I'd be singing his praises.
Yes, you would be. Yeah. Yes, you would be. He would not be president of your punchable face club.
No.
No, he'd be his babysitter.
That's funny.
How much does that job pay? That's a heavy workload right there.
Get paid by child, yeah, it'd be a ton.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, new feature on Bickley and Murata Mornings. We started it last week, and only half of us survived. The Survivor Series Week 2 is next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Who will survive?
The answer to that question after week one was half of us. We're amending the normal survivor type pool here on Bickley and Murata Mornings because there's only four participants. And half of us missed our week one games. It'd be no fun if it was just you and Jarrett making picks.
Yeah, that's very true.
So the scoring system is Sarah and me, we get fat zeros for week one.
Damn,
and
we're
playing for 1 point this week. You and Jarrett hit your picks. Bick, you had the Rams. Jarrett had the 49ers. So now you're playing for 2 points.
Nice.
That's how it'll work throughout the season. So
if they win this week, does that mean next week they play for 3 points?
That is correct.
So we have some catching up to do, is what I'm hearing.
And yes, we do.
And Vinny has some data collection to do this entire season.
But if you're going to miss a week, week one is the week to miss.
Of course. Yes. Okay. All right.
Okay.
But let's see if we can.
And if you're going to blow a team, the Houston Texans are. I can't think of another scenario the entire season where you would pick them.
Yeah.
So
well, I mean, Sarah went bold. You had the first overall pick, and you went Jacksonville, who we all had on our list to pick because we were convinced that Houston was so bad. Jacksonville stinks out loud, and it blew up in your face.
That's the only team you would ever pick Jacksonville against.
Totally.
So if you're going to pick Jacksonville against Houston,
maybe not though. Maybe Jacksonville is, or maybe Houston is for real.
Okay. So what's
all right? So the draft order this week.
Really?
Sarah had the number one pick, so you go to four. Jarrett's got number one. Bick number two. I'll go third. Sarah fourth. We each have to pick a winner to move on, earn points to next week. Again, Sarah picked Jacksonville in week one. Jarrett had the 49ers. Bick had the Rams. I went with the Minnesota Vikings, who lost to the Bengals. Ugh.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Minnesota.
Tanks for nothing. Oh,
tanks for nothing.
Now you can't pick Minnesota this week against the Cardinals, unfortunately.
Right.
So, I can. Yes, and that's the other rule we should let everyone know. Once you pick a team, you cannot pick them again.
Yes.
Right. For the rest of the season.
Right. And then once you pick a team in this draft, the other players cannot pick them.
That is correct.
Yes. All right, so to me, there's a couple of obvious ones. I'm really back and forth, but I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers over the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football.
Dang it.
I think Aaron Rodgers, if he's not completely out of football mindset and not completely washed up, he's going to have a huge game this week. The Lions looked terrible for most of the game last week.
Yeah.
They're in Green Bay. It was between this and one other game, but I'm going to go with the Packers as my pick.
Yeah, that's to me, what you just picked was the obvious choice, but I'm telling you there's some danger in that pick. You already picked
really?
It, so you can't bet. Yes, I do think so.
All right.
Detroit finished really strong
they
in
did.
That game
they
for
did.
What it's worth. It's in Detroit, and who knows if Green Bay's just busted. I agree that
oh, it is at Lambeau, right?
Yeah, it's
oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was in Detroit.
Green Bay Monday Night Football.
All right, okay, that's right. Okay, so fine. I think you're safer than before. But
right.
Okay, I had that messed up.
All right, Beck, you're up.
I am going to take the Cleveland Browns over the Houston Texans.
That was the other one. Because, first of all, I was thinking, like, Cleveland might not have as many picks the rest of the year. But who knows what the Texans are.
All right, so Cleveland has been removed from Dan's list of available teams. That pick is made.
You don't feel nervous after Damashek's diatribe on Baker Mayfield?
No, it's...
You know, that guy is just reveling every time the Cleveland Browns do something wrong. That was a perfect storm for Dave Damashek.
You don't believe in the Texans at all, do you?
No.
I mean, anyone for real here?
No.
After?
No.
Give Teron
this is weird.
Respect.
Like
Tyrod Taylor?
Picking week one games in the NFL is really hard to do. I think picking game two is even harder.
Yeah? Because you don't know what to trust. You don't know what's
right.
real.
Yes.
Exactly right.
And two games doesn't necessarily equal reality, but at least you got an idea. At least you got something resembling a trend.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm.
And I need points.
Oh, okay.
I could go with the Super Bowl champions over one of the worst performing teams in week one, but I don't want to burn Tampa Bay this early in the season.
All right.
I'm going bold again.
Oh, boy.
I'm going Thursday night football.
Whoa!
The Washington football team over the New York Giants.
Holy moly!
2-0-1 teams. You were saying
Taylor Heinicke at quarterback.
Yeah. So why are you going with that? Because you think just Washington defense versus Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I think the Giants stink. That's why I'm going with
and
it.
And Saquon Barkley might not play.
I mean, where are the Giants going to replace those 27 yards from scrimmage? I have no idea.
God, that's sick burn, dude.
All right, so the Washington football team is selected by me.
Just real quick, who is your guys' pick to win that division after 1 week?
I'm probably leaning Dallas. But again, 1 week, you don't know. It's Dallas or Washington
for
me, although Philadelphia
was the only one that won.
Really good, yeah.
Okay. I'm also going bold.
Sarah, you can't pick Houston.
Again?
No, she can pick Houston.
You can't pick Jacksonville.
I can't pick Jacksonville.
That's
yeah.
It.
In fact, I'm going to pick against Jacksonville. I'm going to go Broncos over the Jags.
Yep.
I had that on my list, too.
Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater, please don't let me down.
On the road.
Yes.
The Jaguars did look absolutely horrible.
That's the thing. They stunk out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So it just feels like, gosh, anybody.
No, it's a good
anybody,
pick.
Even the Texans.
Denver's got a great defense. Defense travels, and they're facing a rookie quarterback.
Melvin Gordon
good night.
Had over 100 yards on 11 carries last week.
And I don't know how much longer I'm going to want to hold on to the Broncos. So I use the Broncos.
Right, because the Giants stink. I think that's a good pick.
It is.
Let me down.
There were some tough games this weekend.
Right.
Las Vegas, Pittsburgh. Two teams that squeaked out wins.
And I'll tell you what, there's something mad to me. There's something magical about Raiders versus Steelers.
Ooh, yeah.
There was a time back in the day when that was about as good of a rivalry as you were going to get in the NFL because they both are such great brands.
And remember some of those classic players, don't you?
Yeah.
Mark Van Egan, Todd Hendricks,
Ken Stabler,
Otis Sistrunk.
Lyle,
what's his, Lyle Azado?
Lyle Sendlin?
Jamarcus Russell.
Clingsbury.
It was also great.
Black and gold versus black and silver.
Derek Carr was asked yesterday about the history of the Raiders-Steelers, and his response was, quote, the ball hit the ground, meaning the immaculate reception was null and void.
Interesting.
That's a hot take all these years later. When we finally have other camera angles showing that it didn't hit the ground.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other team that I'm curious about. The New Orleans Saints and Jameis Winston.
Yes.
Jameis Winston, this stat blew my mind this morning. Threw a pass in week one that traveled 50 yards in the air. Okay. Drew Brees threw 9,421 passes for the Saints in his career. Not one traveled 50 yards
Are
in
you
the
kidding
air.
Me? I would have thought maybe wow. early.
I would have thought maybe one.
At the end, 50 yards was like a par four for Drew Brees.
That's right. That's true. Or the a par five, yeah.
The other game I considered was Seahawks-Titans. Because the Titans look so unimpressive. The Seahawks are at home. Seahawks looked really good.
Yeah. But do you trust that? Do you trust the Seahawks?
No, that's
going to
be
good.
One of those ultimate, like, yeah, okay, are the Titans actually that bad or are they going
right.
to come back?
They're going to tear back in week two. Yeah. We'll see.
All right, the picks have been made. Survivor Series week two.
Vinny Jarrett's Joe on a limb again.
Jarrett's got Green Bay. Bick's got Cleveland. I went Washington football team. Probably will regret it. And Sarah picked the Denver Broncos.
Speaking of football advice, now these are not gambling picks, so don't hear us wrong, people.
No.
This is just a little competition we're doing. But a professional gambler tweeted out something in the last 24 hours that stopped me in my tracks. He said there is so much bad advice being given by experts that these sports books are just going to clean up across the country.
Oh my god,
that's what I read, and that was from
doing our part for bad advice.
Look, it's gripping, people. I got a text from my sister who doesn't watch sports very much.
This is unreal.
Hey, who's going to win tonight between Baltimore and Las Vegas? And I'm like, why are you asking me this? Yeah. Oh, my friend sent me a link to this thing. I can make a bet, and it's pretty much a no lose situation.
Oh yeah,
it was a $5 bet. Just to win or lose, and if you got it right, it was like a $200 payoff. That's how they get. And I still gave the wrong advice, and she still lost.
I saw a buddy of mine, who was a huge football fan. I said to him, so did you download an app? Are you doing anything with this? He was like, I don't do anything else. It is consumed his entire life.
Wow. Text Red Sea right now to 620-620. Listen for your name today at 135 or 335. You could win a pair of tickets to the Arizona Cardinals home opener this Sunday, and one grand prize winner will score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey courtesy of Pristine Auction. That's Red Sea to 620-620. Coming up next, Kyler Murray excelled in week one. Can he keep it up in week two? We'll get into that and more next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
No, I definitely feel like I did, but it is what it is. It's all good. Go back out there next week and do it again.
How do you call them Madden about their innings?
No.
Kyler Murray yesterday. Has to be felt like he was robbed by not getting a Player of the Week award in the NFC. Matthew Stafford got it, and he said, yeah, I felt like I did, but motivation to do it next week. By the way, Jarrett, new time slot. Great, great bumper music right there. You know this song, Vic?
I get the feeling I'm about to.
Can you name it?
Icicle Works.
That's exactly right.
Whisper to a Scream.
Well, of course he's
in parentheses,
right. He wouldn't be pointing it out if he wasn't right.
Birds Fly. I love that song.
Okay. Love that song.
Tremendous.
Icicle Works. Great, solid band. Can't name another song.
Wow.
Kyler Murray felt he got robbed. He should. I don't think he got robbed. You know, if Kyler Murray had won the award yesterday after his week one performance, yeah, we would say good for him.
Mm-hmm.
But Matthew Stafford put up tremendous numbers, didn't throw a pick, and was one of the more talked about quarterbacks in the league. Almost a perfect quarterback rating for Matthew Stafford in his first game as a Ram, which, by the way, again, early, it's a very small sample. It's 1 week, but that went about as well as it could go for the Rams.
Yeah.
And everything that was talked about with them in upgrading their position with Matthew Stafford over Jared Goff, it came to fruition in week one.
And Matthew Stafford having absolutely zero reps in the preseason didn't show that. Yeah, I don't think he got robbed either. I really don't. And I do think the NFL in a situation like that where there's a couple of, you know, candidates, if they're just not going to overload one team for a victory if there's comps like that available, in my opinion.
Yeah.
To me, the big thing, though, is Kyler Murray, and we talked on this earlier, it's not just the performance, and there were three jaw-dropping plays last Sunday. The 43-yard scramble in the backfield where he hit the brakes. I think Mike Sando said, you'd break your controller in a video game if you tried that. So there was that play. There was the first touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins, which was as good of a throw as it was a catch. And then you had that that crazy touchdown pass to Christian Kirk. So it was all there in week one for Kyler Murray. To me, a couple things about this. What I really love is just his attitude is different. It looks like he is just really growing up. The emotional maturity is starting to shine through a little bit. And that gets me tremendously excited because you know why? Here's why. We have been alternatively wowed by Kyler Murray's performances to date. Mm-hmm. Then there's been some weird stuff. There's been the weird interactions with the media, which is conduits to the fans. And then there was the scene in L.A. last year, not getting in the game, waiting too long to get back in the game, that kind of stuff. If he keeps this up and has really developed that kind of leadership gene, he's going to be our next love affair here in terms of sports stars. And that's pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
We've already got it with Chris Paul and Devin Booker, maybe D.A., and here we go.
Seth Beer.
Him too.
Here's Kyler Murray yesterday on building on that week one performance and what it means from a locker room standpoint.
I mean, I think guys understand, like we added, you know, the veteran guys that have been in, you know, crucial games, been in big time against Super Bowl games, like they understand it. And I think our younger guys have played a lot of games. So it's not, you know, this isn't a new thing to them. They got their experience in and it's time to go. So I think everybody feels that. We got a nice mixture of old and young. And I think, you know, like I said, we just got to keep going, not get complacent, keep working hard.
Yeah, that mixture of old and young in the receiving core. Rondale Moore made his debut against the Titans, played really well. They used him creatively. He came out of the backfield a couple times. A.J. Green got an early catch. Wasn't a huge factor, but here was Kyler Murray on having those new guys available to him.
You know, I was very impressed with, you know, I mean, not impressed, but I wasn't, you know, surprised by what they did. And they'll do more as the year goes on. You know, A.J.'s first game with us, Rondale's first game with us, once they, you know, actually understand what we're trying to do offensively. We had a month of camp or so with him, you know, so I'm excited for the future with them.
Here's one player I'm looking at in week two to have a major uptick in production.
All right.
It's A.J. Green.
Me too.
And I'll tell you why. Patrick Peterson wasn't targeted very much by the Cincinnati Bengals.
Nope.
Now, there's a play where Ja'Marr Chase matched up against Patrick Peterson and absolutely just torched him on a route and kind of broke Peterson's ankles. The ball was not thrown to Ja'Marr Chase, who, by the way, so much for those drops. He caught every pass that came his way and scored a touchdown in his first game. He was targeted three times, Patrick Peterson, in week one, and I know we were kind of curiously watching that from the outside. Mike Zimmer thought he was okay in his first game.
I think Pat played pretty well. He didn't get much action. You know, one play they caught behind him, we were in zone, but he did fine.
Patrick Peterson is the best cornerback on the Vikings, and I think he's going to get a lot of matchups against DeAndre Hopkins on that left side of the Cardinals offense. The other two corners that saw a lot of time for Minnesota, Mackenzie Alexander and more to the point, Bashaud Breeland, they were disasters.
Yeah.
Bashaud Breeland
was,
got torched.
Yes, he did.
So if he matches up against A.J. Green or Christian Kirk, I expect those guys to be able to feast a little bit. Now,
I don't
expect Patrick Peterson to shut down DeAndre Hopkins. At this point of their respective careers, Hopkins is a much better player. But Kyler Murray, if he gets protection, he's going to have options down the field.
Yeah, especially if he is at the point now where he can go through his progressions and that kind of stuff. I'm fascinated by this because I'm sure there's part of the Cardinals that would love to kind of hammer that matchup. use DeAndre Hopkins to embarrass Patrick Peterson. That might not be the smartest strategy. Like you said, the quarterback opposite Patrick Peterson in Minnesota in week one, it was a disaster, just like it's been in Arizona for the past decade.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm right there with you. If A.J. Green really is as good as the Cardinals claim during practice, this would be a great opportunity for him to put forth one of those kind of games. Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I think so, too. Back to Kyler Murray and his lack of awards. Well, one award he didn't win. He did win an award yesterday.
He did. I saw that.
Nickelodeon's NVP, the Nickelodeon Valuable Player, I think it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nickelodeon is getting into the football game. They had their Nickelodeon playoff broadcast.
Yeah, with the slime cannons.
Which,
yeah.
Mitchell Trubisky won the MVP in that game. They lost terribly. here was the actual announcement.
Lincoln Loud is back with the news of our week one MVP.
What's up, Lincoln? Okay, guys, I'm back with the big news everyone's been waiting for. This week's MVP.
Drum roll.
This week's MVP is... Kyler! Congratulations to our winner! That's one sweet trophy! Catch you all next week!
How about that? I'll see you later, Lincoln!
See you later!
Kyler Murray, he deserves it. He bought out. He threw for four TDs.
And he ran the TD.
That's right! He did his thing. The first weekly MVP winner. This man, Kyler Murray, he is going into the Hall of Slime.
Take that, Matthew Stafford. We talked about that last year. They're doubling down on it. They're going to have that playoff broadcast, but now they have this weekly element. Try to get kids more involved in football. It's a smart idea.
Of course it's a smart idea, because if you think about real young fans, they're going to identify with Kyler Murray. And we talked about this with Kyler when he was drafted, that if this works out and he becomes an MVP candidate, then there's going to be an amazing role model element to him, proving to young kids you can play quarterback if you're 5'9". Mm-hmm. Don't trip about it.
Hey, don't slight him that inch. 5'10 and an eighth. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That exact but you know height what I mean? Will be forever I mean, burned into my mind after the reaction of the football world when that was the measurement that came back at the combine.
He can do for football what Steve Nash and Steph Curry did for the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. You can text your thoughts on that to the FanDuel text line. It's open right now at 620-620. Coming up, Diamondbacks, rough going in Los Angeles. They move on to Houston. We'll check in with their president and CEO, Derek Hall, next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Madam Speaker! The president.
He's the president and CEO of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hail to the chief.
Derek Hall.
The president.
Presented by Cox Business. Cox Business Internet keeps you connected with 99.9% reliability. Visit coxbusiness.com for details.
Yep. T-Bex president, CEO Derek Hall checks in with us as he does weekly on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Derek, good morning to you, sir.
Hey, Vince. How are you, Bick? Good to talk to you.
Derek, what's happening?
Doing well. I guess in this of all years, it's somewhat cruel but also somewhat fitting, Derek, that the Diamondbacks would end up with just a murderous stretch of opponents to finish what has been a difficult season. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. I mean, this run of opponents that you have is just ridiculous.
No doubt. When we had the schedule, first time we saw the schedule, we knew it was going to be a tough one. We thought we'd be at least in a competitive state and was going to make for a very tough end of the season. But, you know, this is crazy. And you, of course, play Seattle, who's in the mix, and you do well there, and you win that series finally on the road. Then you go down to L.A., and they just dominate us, and as they do everybody these last couple of years. In fact, 9 straight years in the playoffs. And then, hey, it gets better. You get to go to Houston after that.
Yeah, how about that? Now,
then you got the Braves and Dodgers coming into town.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to harp on the negative, but I do want to ask you one question, because it occurred to me, I remember when the Suns were in the NBA Finals, you came on in the midst of a 17-game losing streak, and you're kind of like, okay, yeah, we got to talk baseball while we got a basketball team playing for the NBA. And I remember that, and you kind of felt sheepish about that. And now here we are in the midst of all this hype about the Cardinals, and you guys are on the brink of 100 losses. I know you guys are in a process that's going to take some time, but internally, how hard is this on you guys to be dealing with this?
It's tough. I mean, there's really no silver lining to this season. We can find some, of course, but it is difficult. And you try and find the positive. And like we talked about last week, Vic, it's good that we are having so many young players. And even, you know, Vince, with your question about the tough teams, if you're going to throw these guys into the fire, let them play at Dodger Stadium, you know, when they're trying to clinch, and let them play at Seattle when they're trying to stay in the playoff race, and let them go to Houston at a tough time. So it's good that these guys are getting as good and as strong of experience as they can against the best competition. But overall, it's tough. I mean, you want to remain relevant throughout an entire season. You want games to mean something more than just the fan experience, which is a good one, or what promotional item you're giving away. It's got to mean more than that, right, to the fans. And when you're counting down the days and tearing off days off the calendar, that's never fun. 10 games left at home, that's sad, because you want games of impact, games of meaning in September, and we just don't have them. And we haven't had them the last couple of seasons. And to me, it's inexcusable. You can't have that.
Derek Hall, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Obviously, the focus has been on the on-field product. But I was curious, too, about, you know, after what was such a weird, truncated season last year, Derek, and everybody went through it, but also coming back, playing a full schedule this year, with that year that was so uncertain, I mean, operationally for the Diamondbacks organization, what have been some of the challenges off the field just getting through this season?
Great question. You know, it was a matter of Vince trying to get people to come back to the office first and foremost. That's really for every team and every sport. You know, we were like everyone else working from home for over 18 months, and you get used to it because you realize you can do it. But then now it's time to gather crowds, and it's time to get back to the ballpark, as we expect people to come there, and we expect our employees to be there. So we're back in a routine there, but we're still not back to normal, I don't feel like, when it comes to the experience at the ballpark. And a lot of it is because of protocol. You know, there's still areas where fans can't go, and that's unusual for us, if they can't get into some of the clubs because they still need to be quarantined off or sectioned off so that players can be there separated and they can spread out and eat or be tested there. Or, you know, elevators, some of the elevators aren't being used. Some of the locations for parking and access for valet are not used. So I'm looking forward to all that getting back into full swing. And we started a season where a lot of our vendors couldn't come back into their spots because it was their own protocol. They weren't going outside of their brick-and-mortar locations. So, you know, next year we're going to have a full slate, some really exciting news coming out in the offseason about who we're bringing in, new partners, new food partners. The experience is going to be better than ever, and I think we owe it to our fans to get back to that. Mm-hmm. I just look forward to it. It feels like we're turning the page. I know we still have challenges out there. I know there's variants that we're watching. I know there's mandates that we're watching, but it just feels normal when you're able to see these baseball games at full capacity, when you're seeing football games shoulder-to-shoulder with fans, college and pro. It feels right, and so I think operationally, to your point, next year is going to feel like it always did before in these last two seasons. We just really have to try and erase.
That's good.
All right, now, given the home games left in the month of September, I'm curious about this. With the advent of legalized gambling in Arizona, you don't have to do this stuff in person. But what do you guys organizationally project as the impact on in-game attendance because of this?
I think it's going to have an impact for sure, Bick, and I think for every sport. And that's one of those occasions and questions, again, where all boats will rise. And it's a good thing. There's so much excitement that has been generated from this announcement. And I just saw, I think, since football started last week and since we legalized betting, you know, it was like $6.1 million. I think we were fourth in the nation. You know, we were ahead of Illinois, ahead of what Chicago would do here in Phoenix. So there's a lot of interest. And with that, people want to go and watch those games in person. They want to visit the windows. They want to visit the sports books. And it'll be totally different next year when all of these sports books are up and running in different, you know, with different styles, different capacities, different restaurants and you know, entertainment factors, et cetera. So for us, it was a big announcement. You know, we had one about a week ago with our partners. It's been one that has been embraced and accepted and I think enthusiastically by our fans, but there's a big segment that's not going to be interested in that, like most of what we do. But for years, I heard from fans, can you help us? Can you legalize it? And there wasn't much that we could do, but if people wanted to bet, they were going to find a way. Well, now they can do it legally. And again, the benefits can also go to the state, which is a great thing.
All right, let's talk about the on-field players and moving forward with that whole kind of thing. From your vantage point, getting young guys real reps and reps in Dodger Stadium and those kind of situations, yeah, there's great value to that. What guys, though, do you think really might pop in the near future? Guys that the city and this – you know, your community of baseball fans can really rally around.
Yeah, well, I think we've seen a lot of it. I mean, we have a lot of great talent at the younger levels and the lower levels. But the fact that we had so much talent at the AAA level or AA level ready to go has been exciting. I mean, I think we've seen all year where the versatility of Pavin Smith, you know, how he can play all over the field. He can bat anywhere in the lineup. He's been consistent all season. I think the same with Josh Rojas. Dalton Varsho has brought a lot of excitement. And then there's great storylines, too, even with a Henry Ramos, who, you know, spent nearly 10 years in the minors and never got his chance and comes up and he's doing what he's doing. It's fun to see. There's a boost of energy there. And granted, we hit our struggles at Dodger Stadium. We get swept, but a lot of teams do there. And I still saw a lot of fight, you know, in these games, especially last night where you still have a chance and Christian Walker hits a home run to dead center, you know, and you're back within a run. That's a good sign. There's a lot of excitement in that dugout. There's a lot of youth in that dugout, and they have confidence now.
Derek, always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll check in again next week.
You got it, guys. Look forward to it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too. Thanks, Derek Hall, President and CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks, our guest, as he will be weekly here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. I want to let you know that it is not too late to sign up for Bix Picks Week 2. It kicks off tonight. Bix Wicks. It's a new pancake mix.
It's Candle Club.
Yeah, exactly.
Just text PICK to 620-620 to sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill. Courtesy of Modelo Especial, weekly winners will receive a $100 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. Just text PICK to 620-620.
My favorite Fred Durst band is Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, that wasn't awkward.
Hey, he swung.
And he missed.
Down goes Carlin on strikes.
I liked it. You gave me an idea, Sarah, when I open up my new candle shop.
Yes.
Bix Wicks.
Fresh laundry and lavender.
That's right.
Your next one? You have one already?
Your next one.
Man.
You've never been to his Etsy shop?
Coming up next, we're all pretty much convinced Tom Brady is not a normal human being. So what exactly is he? That and more pressing issues of the day in social studies with Sarah Cazell. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.